Hello, welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenlatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a theme and five podcast episodes on that theme, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. You can learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. Feedback with Earbuds brings you podcast recommendations, an interview with somebody in the podcast space, tips on podcasting, and so much more. So let's get into it, shall we? Let's hear from this week's Earbuds sponsor, Sounds Profitable. Podcast advertising is a good first step for brands entering our ecosystem, but they don't have to stop there. Branded podcasts, when done correctly and for the right reasons, can provide a similar, if not larger, bang for the buck. Fatima Zaidi, CEO and founder of Quill Inc., shares the math of branded podcasts in the latest article for the Sounds Profitable newsletter. Subscribe to the Sounds Profitable newsletter for weekly downloads on all things podcast ad tech and what that means for you as a podcaster. Head to soundsprofitable.com to learn more. Hi, welcome to the show. How you doing? It's been a big week for the podcast world, for disinformation, for Joe Rogan, for Spotify, for my stress, for people texting me, asking me for my opinion on the situation, for me listening to a lot of podcasts to try to understand the Spotify Joe Rogan situation. I've been documenting my thoughts on this actually on TikTok. If you're interested in checking that out, I'm at Earbuds Podcasting, and I'd love to know what you think of this situation and how it may unfold, and more importantly, how it will affect podcasters and podcast listeners even. Okay, now it's time for a hard pivot. We are about 1 week away from our official fifth anniversary, the fifth anniversary of Earbuds Podcast Collective. We're going to celebrate it on February 13th because February 13th, 2017 is when I sent the first Earbuds newsletter. Initially via Gmail. It was very ugly, and I am willing to share screenshots of that if you're interested. I've learned a lot since. So February 13th, we're going to celebrate on the internet. As you may know, if you've been listening to this podcast, we were initially going to have a party in person. Then we were going to have a party virtually. And then I thought, you know what? I don't think people really want to sit on Zoom. So instead, we're going to do an asynchronous party of sorts. I'm going to release some data. We might have some new assets that we're going to share. Hopefully, it'll be an interesting way to mark 5 years of podcast recommendations. And then for our sixth birthday, we're going to have, hopefully, a full-on blowout party in person with sponsors and drinks and giveaways and the whole shebang. So stay tuned for that. But the fifth birthday is not going by without being marked. We are still going to do something, so please stay tuned. Here are some ways that you can celebrate with us virtually. Number one, you can listen to a podcast that we've recommended over the years. The best way to do that is by going to our website, earbudspodcastcollective.org, and you can click on the podcast recommendations tab. We now have 5 years of lists for you to choose from. Number two, you can tell a friend about the newsletter. Earbuds, as you probably know from my tone and from me doing this every single week for 5 years, Earbuds is my baby. And I really want more people to know about it because I want more people to listen to podcasts. So please consider sending a text with our sign-up link. We're going to have a link to it in the show notes. You can also maybe send an email. We'd appreciate it so, so, so much. Truly. Number three, you can consider buying a t-shirt from our TeePublic shop. If you go to teepublic.com and search for Earbuds Podcast Collective, you can get our logo on a t-shirt or really any item of clothing. And number four, you can support us on Patreon. There are a lot of costs that go into Earbuds Podcast Collective. For transparency's sake, I'll name a few of them. We pay for website hosting, transcribing our podcast, producing this podcast. We pay for MailChimp and for a lot more. Any support you can provide via Patreon really, really helps. To learn more, head to patreon.com/earbudspodcastcollective. Those are just some ideas. Thank you for partying with us and for celebrating 5 years. And a little sneak peek of next week's theme. As you may or may not know, I recently brought on Nina Joss, who is a podcaster and an amazing organizer, to help me with Earbuds Podcast Collective. She's lovely, and I'm sure you'll meet her more over the next few weeks and months. Nina and I are going to curate a list together to celebrate 5 years of Earbuds on wood, because apparently wood is the traditional gift that you would give for a fifth anniversary. So we're going to come up with some podcasts on that theme, and that is what you can expect next week. So let's get to this week's podcast picks for Earbuds Podcast Collective. Jesse Baker is our curator. Jesse is the producer and one of the hosts of Magnificent Noise's latest podcast, This Is Dating. She's also the creator of the very popular podcast, Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel. Jesse curated a list for us on the theme Minds to Sit With. In a moment, we'll play my interview with Jesse. We discuss her podcast recommendations, how she got into audio, why she chose this theme, and so much more. After the interview, we've got our spotlight pick, which is South and the City. Then we've got some more podcast-related news and tidbits, and then we'll say goodbye for the week. So let's hit play on my chat with Jesse Baker. Jesse Baker, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I imagine you are well also because a really fun article came out in the New York Times today. Can you tell me about it?
Sure. We just launched a show. I should start there. We just launched this really fun, exciting show about dating. It's called This Is Dating. And the New York Times was interested in sitting down and having a really nerdy conversation with the producers on the show about how we make this and why now. And I guess it was resonating with an audience and with the writer. And they even sent a photographer to our office, which is really amazing for a bunch of podcast people to get to work with a New York Times photographer. So that was very, very cool. Yes.
So the article is called On New Podcast, The Sound of Falling in Love. I love that. It's so poetic. And what I really like is that the author, Reggie Ugwu, Reggie says, is romance dead? Not in the frothy world of podcasts, which I love.
Well, you know what? Podcasts are getting a little sexy. They really are. So I feel like we're trying to usher some earnest sexiness that's happening in the space. And I'm listening to a lot of things that I think have some sex appeal. So I'm into it.
So give me a brief description. What is This Is Dating about and what makes it different from other romance-related podcasts out there?
Sure. So we picked four core daters. And these are people who feel really stuck in their dating lives from all over the country, different backgrounds, sexual orientations. And we were like, we are going to set you up on a series of dates and record them. The twist is, we're also going to help you kind of as we call ourselves sort of fairy godmothers, but the producers behind the scenes are really trying to curate this date, which is often on a screen like the one you and I are looking at each other on, to make them not so flat and to take the conversation in a different space rather than like a job interview, which is what a lot of dates feel like. So as the season goes along, we get like a little more playful. We have them do improv. There's a scavenger hunt. There's like lots of things that we try to do to, we have people make a cocktail and send them ingredients. We try to kind of play with it. And then the other aspect of this is that we also do a little bit of mentoring and coaching. We work with a dating coach, a couple different therapists, actually, or not therapists, experts, I should say. Be careful of using the word therapist. That's my other baby, not this baby. But we work with a series of experts to kind of help the daters get unstuck. So they get a little guidance. And the idea is that you can hear a little bit of your own life in the stories and experiences and the awkwardness sometimes of these first dates.
I need this for myself. It's such a unique show, not just in the concept, but also in the sound design. It's really beautifully done. What was your thinking behind that? You know, the show in and of itself has so much going on. What made you also think to say, let's sound design it? Let's also have it have this element of sound richness.
There's a man on our team, Paul Schneider, and he's been my creative partner through a lot of things for the last few years. We work together at Audible and here at Magnificent Noise. And Paul is sort of our secret weapon sonically. He's a musician and a composer himself, but he also has he's a producer brain too. So, and he's also the guy when you're tracking who pushes you to say the thing that you like was on the tip of your lips, but you didn't quite articulate it. He's like that kind of voice in our ears too. So he's really, I'm actually a little nervous saying his name because I don't want anyone to come by and try to steal him because he really is our secret weapon. But he did all of the sound design, all of the, you know, the snaps and the clicks and all the kind of fun things that happen to signal new questions. And he really sweated over it too. So I don't want to make any project without Paul.
So you mentioned Magnificent Noise, which is the production company that makes this show. When did you start Magnificent Noise? You are one of the founders. And tell me a bit about the projects that you like to take on and what you look for, what you love to make.
Yeah. So Magnoise came about after a series of working in a lot of different spaces. I grew up in public radio. I feel like they taught me how to tell stories. I married into public radio. I'm very much like a public radio I have that story, that come up story that a lot of people have. They either interned in public radio, which I did too, or they worked at a member station. So that was definitely my story. And my co-founder, who's a lovely gentleman named Eric Newsom, he was my boss at NPR a good decade ago, and the best boss I have ever had. And maybe 6 years into our working together at NPR, he sent me a job description for a job that he was about to take at Audible, and he had written a job description for me. And so I left NPR, I went to Audible for a couple of years, helped Eric run the original content team there. And when that all went away and was no more, we started Magnoise, which was about 3 years ago, you know, a year before the pandemic really happened. Some of the people that we worked with, both in public radio and at Audible, kind of were looking for new things to do. And so we, Eric and I joke that we're sort of like the mafia, that people always keep coming back to us. But we have a history of working with people, you know, in two or three different incarnations. And people will go away and do something else and then come back. I also really love to match producers with the projects. So if I have something, I will sometimes call someone and say, I know you just took this job, but I have this story and I think you would just be a perfect match for it. Can I just tell you about it? So I have poached a few people by accident.
So another one of the shows that you work on is Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel. How did that get started? And you referred to it as your baby before. So tell me, what's your relationship with that show?
That show, we started at Audible. It's been an interesting ride. We just are about to close the books on the fifth season and are even talking about, you know, what could the sixth season look like. Esther's been in my life for about 6 years and is one of the most incredible people I have ever worked with. She's such a great creative partner and really trusts, you know. When we pitched this podcast to her, she'd never heard of a podcast. She sat across to me at the table and said very little the whole brunch. And I was like awkwardly just talking and, you know, like, I have no idea if she likes me or if she just thinks everything that comes out of my mouth is so dumb. She remembers this story very differently. But when I tell it, she got up from the table. She put her bicycle helmet on because Esther rides her bike everywhere through New York City.
That's so cool.
She's Belgian. So that's what they do. And she said, you can come to my office and we'll see. And so,
which to you sounded like lukewarm, but to her was probably like, that's a yes.
Yeah. She's like, well, we'll investigate, you know? And so that turned into her letting me pick a couple couples and recording them. And Paul, who also works on This Is Dating and is the, all does all the sound design and the mixing for Where Should We Begin as well. He and I sat outside wearing headphones of Esther's office, awkwardly crying and texting our partners for the whole 3 hour session of the pilot recording. And we were like, there is so much magic in this. Esther calls it the best theater in New York City, you know, couples therapy. But there is drama, but you really do hear yourselves in the stories of others. And that is something that I love about podcasting and about sharing stories.
What's a project that you've worked on that's not dating or relationships related? This really seems to be your niche.
It sort of has been. I keep telling Esther, she's like fucked up the lens of,
Okay.
She has repositioned the lens in which I see the world in. Sitting through 500 or 600 hours of other people's therapy really gets in your head and changes you. But yeah, no, I came up on the news magazines. I worked on, you know, Weekend Edition Sunday at NPR, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Day to Day. I did all of those normal things. I created a show for NPR, which just RIP, Ask Me Another.
Oh yeah. I saw that on your LinkedIn. I love that show.
Yeah. That was really, that's how Eric and I started working together. Is he gave me a 3 month temping job to help him figure out, you know, what the show could be. And then that was a really fun show to make. It was sort of pre NPR busting out in the podcasting world, but it was, you know, very much a radio show at that time. I made a little true crime. I made a series called West Cork, which is very beautiful. Yeah. So, I mean, I've done a lot of things and I've also launched a lot of shows, but I say like, Where Should We Begin is one of my babies.
So many of the people who listen to this show are either podcasters themselves, they love audio, or they're looking to get into the production side of audio. What is something that you would tell somebody who's either looking to make a career change or just getting into audio? Maybe they're a recent college grad. What's something that you would do differently or just general advice?
Find your people and then try to figure out how you can work there. And that if that means you start at very entry level, you know, find the show and I don't know why Radiolab came to mind. I'm not saying like, you know, go bother Jad until Radiolab gives you a job, but like find the show that sort of speaks to you and figure out who makes it and how you can start there. I'm seeing this like, you don't have to have a traditional path anymore. Like people don't come from public radio. It's like kind of great. And they're all these other departments and you're seeing a lot of people come from film or... We worked on This Is Dating. We worked with a woman who's still in college right now because someone wrote to me and said, she's really interested in where should we begin? Do you have any openings? And I was like, I don't have any openings for this, but I'm doing this other thing. And you're dating. Would you be a consultant and help us, you know, kind of think through how we're positioning dates? She was like, yeah. So she spent the summer, and that was on an email that I think a friend of her mother's sent me. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like people do pay attention to a well-crafted email. And if it's passionate enough, then they'll say, you know, I've got a couple months worth of work. Are you interested in coming and consulting or interning or, you know, producing?
Yeah. When I started Earbuds 5 years ago, I had no idea about the audio space at all. And I was just like, I love podcasts. I want to listen to more of them. I want to work in this space. I have no idea how. So I sent a bunch of cold emails to anybody who would listen and carved my way in. And I think you're right that it's not so much a traditional... You don't need to have traditional roots in anymore. People are really trying things out. And I think it's true that as long as your email is respectful of other people's time, you're going to go pretty far.
Yeah, and I love it when people are specific. Like, I listened to this episode and it spoke to me because, and I think I'd be a great fit on this team because of, or I want to learn this from you. I love it when people like also write to say like, this is the thing that I think your shop does really well. And I think I would like to learn that. The more specific, the better. But I read everything that comes through.
Love that. Well, let's shift gears and talk about this week's Earbuds theme that you have curated for us. The theme that you chose is called Minds to Sit With. So tell me how you came up with that name.
So that was really hard. And you put limitations on how many words I could have. But it was basically like, when I thought about how would I curate a list and what do I like about podcasting? This is really like my comfort. These were comfort foods for me. So I really chose people that I go back to over and over again. And so that's why these are the minds that I want to sit in, you know, that I like being with, that I feel close to.
I love that. So we're going to go through your podcast picks and I'll ask you about each one of them and you'll tell me about each one of them. How does that sound?
I can do it.
Let's do it. The first episode comes from your show, This Is Dating, and it's called Aziz Date One, The List. What's that one about?
This is a blatant plug for my own show. However,
you're allowed to do that.
This episode is one of my favorites of the season. This is his first date. If you love this, his second date is even better. Even though he doesn't get a match with either of the two daters, I feel like you really fall for Aziz and the men that he goes out with. So this was a must listen. If you only hear one date from This Is Dating, this is the one.
The next episode comes from the podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? A great show with Nicole Byer. And it is called Big Dick Energy with Conan O'Brien.
So I love the show. This is one of those that I definitely listened to as I was thinking about This Is Dating. This is one from last winter, so I went back into the archives. I also love and miss Conan, so I think that was part of why I chose this. You know, we talked about sexy podcasts. I think, and Conan says this in this episode, that this is this very sexy podcast. I think Nicole is definitely, you know, bringing sexy to podcasting. So this is a definite must listen for me.
So funny. A sexy podcast. I love the notion of a sexy podcast because people really associate sexuality, sexualness with visuals. But of course, your ears can definitely spark those things as well.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever listened to Esther Perel talk? Like you don't need to look at her to know that like that she just owns sex appeal. It just comes from her. Yeah. So definitely Esther is bringing sexy back too.
There should definitely be some sort of like audio version of the sexiest person alive. That would be interesting. The next episode comes from the show Terrible, Thanks for Asking. Side note, Nora McInerney, she is doing a great job on TikTok. I have recently been spending a lot of time on TikTok and I found her and I love her videos. And the episode is called A Life Interrupted with Suleika Joad.
Nora, I just love. I don't know her. I wish I knew her. I feel like I do. I also appreciate sometimes that you can laugh during really hard moments. And sometimes I'm just in the mood on a run or on a walk to kind of sit with Nora. Suleika is, if you have not read Suleika's memoir, it was the book last year that most touched me. It is so beautiful. It's called Between Two Kingdoms. And this was a really lovely conversation that she has with Nora. But I highly recommend listening to this and to reading. I'm sure Suleika did an audiobook.
The next episode comes from Heavyweight, which is a great podcast from Gimlet that recently is only available on Spotify. And the episode is called Barbara Shutt.
And this is a one part of a two-parter. So I don't know if this was maybe from late November, I think. They are so good. And Jonathan Goldstein is just like someone I find so wonderful and so charming. And like, I really do long to have a problem interesting enough for Jonathan Goldstein to give a fuck about me. You know, like I really wish, I strive for that. That's like my life goal.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who don't know, Heavyweight is a show where Jonathan Goldstein, who is the host, and sometimes the people who work with him, Stevie Lane and Kalila Holt, will go back in somebody's life to solve a problem. And they interview the people who were there at the time of the problem. And it is really, it's investigative, but it's funny. And Jonathan has a very quirky sense about him.
Yeah, very This American Life, you know, sensibility and kind of a cadence.
Yes.
Yeah, but again,
anything you want to say about Barbara Shutt episode specifically?
I don't want to give it away, but I will tell you that this is like, it starts in a really surprising way as someone who lives with their mother-in-law right now, but it starts with a call he has to his mother-in-law, and she sparks what will be a two-part kind of true crime episode that you didn't see coming. You had no idea.
And the last recommendation for this week's theme, which is called Minds to Sit With, comes to us from Criminal. And the episode is called The Boycott, which just came out.
You can pick any episode of Criminal.
Yes.
Any episode. Like, this is legitimately the thing that I will snack on anytime, you know, wherever I am in the world, the airport, waiting on carpool lines. Like, I love Phoebe Judge. I don't know her, but I wish I did. I love her voice. I love her rhythm. I like listening to her read a mystery novel. Like, I'm just into Phoebe.
And that's not even theoretical. She does have a podcast called Phoebe Reads a Mystery.
Yeah, I basically will. I also like This Is Love, which is the other podcast that they make too. Again, like, I feel like I did not discover any of these things for your listeners. I didn't pick anything, you know, new to the charts.
You'd be surprised, you know? What I always find interesting is that I listen to like 40 hours of podcasts every week. I have favorite shows that to me are everything to me. And then I have a friend who also listens to 40 hours of podcasts a week, and she'll mention a show and I'll be like, how have I never heard of that? So I think it really is surprising how many podcasts are out there and how many listeners some of these shows have. And I still have never heard of your favorite person or your favorite podcaster. It's crazy.
Although I was talking to Eleanor Kagan, who's a woman who works with us at Magnoise, and she said there's this podcast called Normal Gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, but it's relatively new.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I will actually go listen to that. I'm also terrible about discovering new things. I really like the things that I've always known and that sit around. And so, especially now.
For me, it's all about the newsletters for discovery. And then I also have been having a good experience. Just, I use CastBox to listen and I just scroll and there's some pretty good stuff. And I find that often cover art means it's going to be a good podcast. If the cover art is beautiful, the podcast is often at least okay in terms of the quality.
So you judge a podcast by its cover.
Absolutely. This is one of my big arguments lately is actually a friend of mine told me this. We used to say, don't judge a book by its cover because of the way books were displayed on shelves. It was by their bindings. And you literally could not tell what a book was going to be about because it would just have the name. So we didn't judge books by their cover, but now we do. We look at books and it often tells you the tone of the show or, you know, what's the vibe? Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be scary? Is it going to be this, that? The font tells you a lot too. And I think the same goes for podcasts. And I definitely think naturally we judge books by their cover and podcasts by their cover. And we should, because there's so much and we have to discern somehow.
But podcast art is so hard.
It is. How did you come up with the podcast art for This Is Dating?
There is an amazing artist whose name is Lulu Krause, and she does a bunch of kind of these whimsical, quirky designs. And I knew her from another friend, and she'd never done podcast art. And so I was like, I love what you do. Here's the show. Can I send you an episode? And you know, what comes to you. I had this idea of binoculars, and it was a little on the nose, but we had this idea of binoculars and then what you would see through the lenses of them. And that somehow manifested into these buildings, which kind of has a true crime-y feel to it. That's the one thing I was worried about. I love our art so much. Like, I would put it on a wall. That's how I judge the art. Like, would I put it on a poster and hang it in my office? But I have to say, putting a show out on your own and not working with any kind of outside partner, you can pick whatever the hell you want to for the art and no one wants to weigh in. It was such a beautiful experience to just love an artist and say, can you work with me on something? And then that's it. Nobody weighed in. Nobody cared. I could do whatever I wanted.
And I feel like it's hard because for me, I'm not a visually artistic person. It doesn't come naturally to me. I know what I like. I know what looks good and what doesn't, but I don't know how to verbally direct somebody when I have an idea in mind. So what was that like just telling her, what do you see? Maybe I'll give you a few keywords that I want you to hit on, but other than that, go.
Well, I think I had to get it really wrong first because I gave her this idea and then I had to lay off and say like, okay, well, that's not really right. What I told you I thought I wanted is not at all what I feel like the show is when I look at that piece of art. And so what are you feeling? And so, you know, she sent me back a few things and then it was like, okay, well, can we add a couple Easter eggs? Can we add birds in love? And so if you really look at our art, there are these two little pigeons and there are hearts above them. And it's like, can we put some flowers in the room? And I wanted the people at first looked like aliens. I wanted them to be very like, shadows, so you couldn't tell, you know, what color their skin was or what their sex was, or I just wanted them to be these kind of entities that are looking and longing. I wanted you to have a feeling, but not a, oh, that doesn't look like me, you know? But they did start out as kind of weird alien creatures, and then they had to kind of find themselves.
That's awesome. I think cover art tells a lot about a show. Yeah, it's an indicator of more than just what's inside the show is...
It shows that you cared about the whole process, you know?
Yeah, you thought to say to your artist, here's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? This is a collaborative this is a collaborative art piece. And also it's going to be what people perceive of the show. Honestly, I have not tuned into shows because of what their art looks like. And then they've changed their art and I've realized I love that show.
That is so fascinating. I am definitely going to explore. I wish there was like a old cover art and a new cover art so that I could... figure out who changed.
Well, remember This American Life's change? That was interesting.
No, what did they do?
They changed like in the last, I want to say like a year ago. Look up the difference. Now it's like that big red thing. It used to just be This American Life in little red and purple. And now it's huge. It has like a chat bubble.
Interesting. No, I haven't noticed. Okay.
Check it out. It's a huge difference. There was outrage when it happened. And now people don't remember.
Yeah, totally. I somehow missed this. Interesting.
What takeaways would you like people to come away with as they listen to these podcasts for this week's theme?
Yeah, I think that with these five podcasts, I think you get lost in the stories of others. And I think it's easy to hear yourself in those stories. But I think sometimes too, if you try too hard to hear yourself, you miss what someone's actually trying to say about themselves. And that's a lesson I give myself all the time. Sometimes when I'm working on where should we begin? You know, it's like these problems are very relatable. People's stories are very relatable, but they're still also very singular.
With that, thank you, Jesse, for joining me and for all the work you do on some really amazing podcasts. Listeners, I hope you check out This Is Dating. And Jesse, anything you want to say before we close out?
No, this was very fun. Thank you for having me. I'm not used to being on the other side of this, so I enjoyed it.
Thank you to Jesse for joining me in the virtual earbud studio powered by Squadcast.fm to discuss this week's podcast picks. You can find links to all of the podcasts that Jesse mentioned in the show notes of this episode, as well as on the homepage of our website. Do you want to be our next earbuds curator? Anyone can curate a list for us. Find a link to the application form in our newsletter. Next up, it's spotlight time. In addition to our weekly five podcast picks, we also spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. Podcasters, if you want your podcast spotlit in our newsletter and on the homepage of our website, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. This week, we're spotlighting the podcast South in the City from Three Springs Media. Here's what the show's about. Take a trip down I-95 and back again with co-hosts Samori and Tony on South in the City. It's an unscripted podcast of two fraternity brothers' experiences, perspectives, and cultural influences, On this podcast, Samori and Tony discuss a collection of stories, they share tips, and they offer unpopular but damn good opinions. Take a listen to the varied perspectives of two millennial Black men from, pun intended, South in the City. Episodes come out every Friday. You can find South in the City wherever you listen. And before we close it out, I've got a few more podcasty things for you that you might be interested in. First up, NPR's fourth annual Student Podcast Challenge is back and now open with competitions for students in grades 5 through 12 and students pursuing their associate's or bachelor's degrees. The College Podcast Challenge is open until February 28th. For this competition, students will produce a podcast between 3 and 8 minutes on a topic, issue, or story of their choosing. The winners will be notified in late spring. This year, for the first time, there will be a $5,000 grant for the College Podcast Challenge winner, plus $500 for finalists. Next up, Tartarus is a sci-fi horror audio drama. 3 staff members run a secret research facility that extends deep below the ice of Antarctica, imprisoning hundreds of strange and dangerous monsters. The Tartarus team currently has an Indiegogo campaign going on right now, and if you're interested in giving to them, you can go to igg.me/@tartaruspod. And that's it for this week of Feedback with Earbuds. Thank you for listening. We're back next week with more podcast recommendations. I hope you have an awesome week filled with lots of amazing podcasts. Feedback with Earbuds is written by me, Arielle Nissenblatt. It's mixed and designed by Daniel Turek, the best in the game. Learn more about Daniel at his website, robotslap.com. The newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonsky. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.